Turn to Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 through 15. We're going to be continuing in this passage. We looked at some questions last time in our time together, questions related to the passage, and we'll go through the passage a little bit more in depth at this time. The big idea is in this passage that hope draws us from emptiness to a deeper experience of God's grace through Christ. Would you read together with me? We're going to begin with verse 8, Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lies in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Our text again today and in the letter to the people of Colossia is about, in some ways, helping people recognize error that was circulating in their day, helping them to identify it and not be spiritually deceived. And there is that opportunity today. There is spiritual deception at times that occurs in our world today. There are spiritual impersonators, you might say. I once heard of a farmer whose horses kept slobbering over everyone. The farmer saw in a farm magazine a cure for this problem. It was for a fee of $20. He scraped together the money and wrote asking what the secret was, and he received a very thin envelope containing a single sheet of paper on which were written the words, "Teach your horses to spit." Big solution. $20. Thank you. It's very interesting the number of things that are said that have different motives behind them. And this is true in the spiritual realm as well. We laugh at that simple kind of deceit, but it's happening to so many people today. And what he was helping the people of Colossia learn was that Christ in Christ was everything they needed. If they would spend time with him, if they would focus on him, if they would know him better, know about him better, they'd be able to recognize spiritual deception. So we began to look at that last time and want to continue here today. And he emphasizes this idea that they didn't receive something that was part of the tradition of men, just simply something fabricated by men, but they received in the person of Jesus Christ a reconciler not only of them spiritually and personally, but a reconciler for all creation. This is done in the open. It was done by Jesus Christ. He fills everything. He is everything that what Paul talks about is in terms of hollow religion is not. This is a great contrast between gospel that Paul was talking about and the philosophy of religion that he was trying to ward them against. He calls the gospel of Jesus Christ the gospel of truth. He calls this philosophy a philosophy of deception. Christ liberates and rescues hostages, like in chapter 1, verse 13. This philosophy that he's speaking to takes the gullible captive and makes them slaves to error. It yanks them out of light back into the dominion of darkness. And I gave a picture last Sunday about how he uses a word picture of this marauding slave traders that carry off victims as booty. He says, "Be on your guard, lest anyone carry you off as spoil by means of his philosophy and empty deceit." Warns against any thought that tends to take people away from Christ, that tends to weaken their trust in their all-sufficient Savior. Anything that is not in harmony with the fullness that we're given in Christ, then is suspect, and it leads us to his emphasis in verse 9. For in Christ all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. That is, in Christ, in his body, in the resurrected Christ, the fullness of Godhead dwells. The glorified person called the Son of God is deity resident in human form. He literally takes up permanent residence in human form, is what he's saying. And because Christ is fully God and really man, believers are in union with him. It says, we have been given fullness. That is, we share in his fullness. It is a way of describing our connection or our union with Christ. I'd just like to pause for that. Sometimes we understand the fullness of Christ, that is, God shows up in the person Jesus. It's fully God and fully man. We think, well, if God is in man, there is fullness in that sense. But he says his fullness is in us as well. I'll just read that again. You have been given fullness in Christ. I just wanted to pause here for a moment. Can you think of a time when he was everything you needed? When his fullness was adequate? And if so, is there anyone that'd like to share that memory? At the birth of your stillborn son, can you tell me about you were being carried along at one of the most difficult times in your life? You called it wave upon wave. What an image. He's everything, isn't he?
He is.
Absolutely everything. Yes. Just when you need him.
Yes.
The reflection of the fullness of Christ in this group ministered to you in one of the most difficult times. It's amazing. There, sometimes when we feel the lack, that others fill it in and reaffirm it and help us hang on. It's huge. Thank you, those of you who've shared today. Thank you so much. I don't know if you've thought about trusting deeper in his fullness, having looked at these passages. Let's go back to that verse. You have been given fullness in Christ. Anything that you'd recommend so that we don't miss that possibility, the potential? Stay connected to Christ. Pray for fullness in Christ.
Focus
on Christ. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes it's down to that. It's a fight in our thought lives, isn't it? We need to pray for focus. Pray for the rightness of Christ-like thinking so that we'll have that fullness. Someone back here. So look back at the times he's always been there. Reminding yourself of it helps you, helps these current things not be so heavy that you get discouraged and downhearted. Is this kind of what you were talking about, Rob? Practicing it and living it as you are finding you have to live this every day, that it is a thing that we learn to live in the fullness of Christ. So let me see if I can rephrase. To experience fullness, sometimes we may have to open up areas that we've closed off.
She could have remained in her.
So open it up, he knows about it, and invite his fullness in. Is that the idea? Yes. Be aware of our thoughts so that we can experience fullness of Christ. Because it's often there that the battle's won or lost, isn't it, in our thoughts. This has been an interesting passage. You know what we've talked about? One thing this morning, the fullness of Christ, and possibly experiencing that at deeper and more profound levels. And it often is waged in the area of our thought life. Fullness of Christ is our part of our inheritance. It's ours. It is treasure to be opened up and explored for you and for me. It's in the treasure box, and getting at that is most important. You talked about thought life. I was reminded, in our text, it talks about having been dead in trespasses and sins and made alive in Christ, and that really makes a difference. Erica, thank you for risking and sharing today and telling us about your thought struggle that you had. I appreciate that because it illustrates for me how the Holy Spirit is at work in us to give us fullness. Because we could, for example, live with a critical eye, but you were redirected by the Holy Spirit to pray, and you experienced something new and profound, it sounds like, that was different from the original thoughts. And I want to thank you for that, because that's where we live every day, and that's where we experience fullness of Christ or not.